Hello and welcome to another MyTunes podcast here at manxradio.com with me, Mark Tiley. We like to bring you a whole range of people, of celebrities, of politicians, artists, you name it, to this little sequence. And I was delighted to be able to talk to Michelle James face to face in our studios with our lockdown over here in the Isle of Man. Unfortunately, she really shouldn't be here. All will be revealed in just a moment.
Mark Tiley, the nation's station, Manx Radio.
On this week's My Tunes, I'm talking to someone who you've almost certainly heard, almost certainly seen, and will know, I think, a lot more about as her career progresses and goes from strength to strength. Known on stage, screen, and everything these days as Michelle James. When we first knew her at Castle Rushen High School, she was Michelle Jameson. But Michelle James, welcome to My Tunes.
Oh, thank you ever so much for having me.
Oh, it's lovely. Well, I say it's lovely. It's wonderful to have you here, but of course you shouldn't be here at the moment. And we'll tell everybody why as we go on. So, let's just, Castle Rushen, all those productions. We love you, Miss Hannigan, etc.
Wow.
Years ago.
Yes, very many, many. I don't want to count, Mark. That was a long time ago now.
How many shows were you in down there?
Do you know what? In Castle Rushen, I don't think that many, really. But it was all kicking off all at this around the same time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And there's always things happening on this island.
And gaiety and this, that and the other. But then the big news is Royal Conservatoire of Scotland. You've been working with us, which has been great. But off you went, the big break, 2016, Glasgow.
Glasgow, yeah. What a place to be. What a city. Great times headed off to the Royal Conservatoire of Scotland.
Yes.
Very posh.
Yeah.
It's not very posh when you get there. It's full of arty-farty people running down the corridors, cellos in hand, ballet shoes on, all that malarkey, and plenty of Scots.
Yeah, so tell me, which disciplines does it cover? Is it all the performing arts?
It's a huge range. So it's split into two sections, really, if you look at it. And you've got the drama side, drama production, DPPOS or something it's called. You know, you've got the acting, musical theatre, you've got the dance, you've got the production, you've got the costume, you've got the everything, TV, film, all of that. And then on the other side, you've got a major music conservatoire, you've got, you know, every instrument under the sun, you've got teacher trainings, you've got traditional music courses, you've really got anything that you could possibly lay your hands on.
And what were you doing mostly? Acting as well as music?
Well, I officially have a degree in musical theatre.
Hey. That'll do nicely. Yeah, well done you. Well, I do know this, actually, because I did actually manage, and it was purely by luck. During your final year, I was in London when you did a West End showcase with all of your associates, or all your intake, wasn't it?
So you mean you didn't travel specially?
Did I tell you I travelled? No,
I thought the trip was
my hair done. I can't remember.
London haircut.
You were there in the West End, and it must have felt magical to do it.
It was awesome. So originally we were meant to be in the Mamma Mia Theatre, but things changed and we ended up being in the theatre Aladdin was in. I mean, lots of drama schools do, you know, showcases halfway through their final year, trying to get yourself an agent, get yourselves out there for casting directors. We're very lucky that because we had to come down from Scotland, you get to do one in Glasgow, one in London. So I think the major mega theatre, we're talking a huge theatre, is not quite what the usual showcase is all about, but it was excellent.
It was absolutely astonishing. We'll talk about your cohort and we'll talk about the breaks going on for lockdown tomorrow. Let's have your first piece of music. Where are we going with this and what is it?
So this one is the track that I remember back from very early childhood, right up until, you know, last night when I was cooking my dinner. And this track is something that my mum and dad would put on maybe once a week. And specifically, I've got in my head when the dishwasher was having to be loaded up. This track would come on and we'd get the the little jam jars that had rice in it to create our own little shakers. And it'd be everyone, you know, with their own handmade instrument, dancing and tootling around the room to this track, having a great time. And so nice that now I've got a little niece that's growing up. And a little nephew, but he's a wee bit too young to understand. He just looks at us like we're crazy people. But she's, you know, kind of adopting this dancing around the room kind of thing. And it's absolutely lovely. So this one's taken me back to my childhood, back to, you know, probably one of the big influences, my mum and dad, in terms of their encouraging of dancing and singing for joy. So here we go.
And it is
Casino Royale.
Herb Alpert. This week on My Tunes, I've got a guest whose beautiful, stunning career was cut short the moment lockdown started and things were looking up. She is Michelle James. She's an actress. She's a singer. She's a Pilates teacher. She went to Castle Rushen High School, was in lots of things there, lots of things at the Guild and in the Gaiety. Michelle, welcome to My Tunes again.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday, hey. So there we were. We talked about the showcase in the West End. It was amazing. I mean, your cohort, I mean, obviously I was biased. You were by far the best. But they were some brilliant. You were surrounded by such talent. How are they doing in all this as well?
Oh, you know, the main thing that I will leave the conservatoire with is the fact that for 3 years I had these 15 people that were my absolute family, and you really do. It's not the normal university environment. It's the you're in 9 till 6, maybe 9 till 9 some days, and you're living with them. You're totally amongst them the whole time, and they are absolute legends. Every single one of them, so talented in their own respect. But the big thing that you'll leave with is just that sense of ensemble, and you're just one team that will. You know, one can move a shoulder in one corner of the room and it'll pass over to the other end. And
I got that. When we had a little drinkette after your showcase, I got to meet nearly all of them. And I thought, this is like a mixture of fame meets friends meets... You were such a tight unit. And you were all looking out for each other, which was brilliant.
Totally. And I think you can't go through something like that and not be good pals. And I think we are so lucky, that cohort, that we did gel. I'm sure you can imagine that such major personalities in some years will clash massively. But we were really lucky we got on. Obviously, there was the older, a few little clashes here and there. But yeah, as any family would.
You're going to be fighting for jobs, if not now, later on at some
stage. Yeah, and that's the big thing, really. You go through the 3 years and you think, these are my competition, and you come out and actually you realize, you know what, they're not really, they're what I can count on in this big, horrible, famous, nasty, catty arts world. And they're actually, you know, the people that you should be saying, listen, this job's come up, I've actually been put up for this, but I don't think I'm right, I think you're better. And you know, you've got to look out for these 15 good souls, because they are your rock, really.
Yesterday we had a really lovely song from the very beginnings, you dancing around the kitchen. When did you first have the idea, this is what I want to do, not just in the kitchen, but I really want to do this? When did that first dawn on you?
I mean, that is a question that most people will ask, and most people who are in this industry get asked. And I cannot put my finger on when. I didn't have that kind of a moment. I remember I've always loved to be around creativity.
So there wasn't a light bulb moment. You were just doing it.
There wasn't a light bulb moment. And it got to a point where, you know, 16 to 18, where everyone thinks, right, what are you going to do? Everyone's asking you, what are you going to do? Where are you going to go? And what I did is I just applied everywhere. I applied to do psychology, sociology at different universities. I went to Cambridge for a little bit to do a few interviews down there. I was thinking, is this really what I want to do? Anyway, it went to lots of different drama schools. I applied to do classical singing, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, and then it all just fell, you know, into place. That's one of my big offers. That's where I love to go. Did the audition, did the recalls, did all of that. And it was absolutely, it just seemed like the right place to go.
Well, it worked out brilliantly. And when you came out, you pretty much straight away got a lovely job in Panto.
Yeah, I know. And it was absolutely great, really. I got the job before I left. Really lucky to know that there's something that's coming up that's on the horizon. It was a Glasgow Panto, one that I'd really had my eye on from the word go as soon as I got into Glasgow. It's not your traditional Panto, and many people's first job will be a Panto, but this is quite a unique. It was the first ever UK female, all-female pantomime. There was only six of us in the cast, and it was incredible. It's written by a man named Johnny McKnight, who writes that specific Glasgow Panto every year, and it's excellent. All
Great.
Original music, and yeah, I was so pleased, because it really was my goal for a long time.
And you landed it. We still haven't talked about lockdown. It's coming later in the week. Let's have another record. What's it going to be?
So this is You Can Call Me Al, and I'm sure that this is an absolute favourite for so many people, but for me, it's these opening bars that just, as soon as I hear it, I want to get up and my heart starts racing and I want to dance. And this is a tune that we would put on in Glasgow when we were having a great time, when we were having a low time, me with all my pals, and every single one of them will adore this tune. So this is reminding me of great times with them.
Why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle? The rest of my life is so hard. I need a photo opportunity. I want a shot of redemption. Don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard. Bone digger, dogs in the moonlight. Far away, my well-lit door. Mr. Beer Melly, get these mutts away from me, you know. I don't find this stuff amusing anymore. If you'll be my bodyguard, I can be your long lost pal. I can call you Betty, Betty, when you call me, you can call me Al. A man walks down the street, he says, why am I short of attention? Got a short little span of attention, and oh, my nights are so long. Where's my wife and family? What if I die here? Who'll be my role model? Now that my role model is gone, gone. He ducked
back down the alley with some roly-poly little bat-faced girl. All along, along, there were incidents and accidents. There were hints and allegations. If you'd be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Daddy, and Daddy, when you call me,
Day three of My Tunes with my guest, who this week is Michelle James. Michelle, we've talked about everything good, coming through school, dancing around the kitchen, getting into the Royal Conservatoire of Scotland, don't you know, and a lovely job in Panto, and then somebody slammed the brakes on, Mr. Corona, Mr. Covid said, this is all going to stop.
Yeah.
It must have been... Well, tell me, how did it feel?
What a shame. So I came out of Panto and it was the... So we did a very long run from mid-November right through till the first week of January, two performances every day. So serious run. And I came out of that. The next day, I had to head down straight to London. Thought I'd be coming home. Had to go to London. Had to do an audition. I had a great, really good feeling about this audition. Thought, I'm going to go. I'm going to do it. And then got a recall. I was really ready to come home. I've not been home all Christmas. But it was great. It was for a company called Handlebards.
Handlebards.
Yeah.
This sounds amazing. What was that? What is that?
This is for a company that I had been, again, following for a long time. And it's this really quirky group that is a travelling Shakespeare company. They've been going for a few years. Their uniqueness is that they travel around by bicycle from venue to venue every day. Across the UK. So it was going to be 30 to 50 miles on a bike. every day traveling to the next venue, where the actors, you know, take their costumes, take their set on a little trailer behind them.
And so you really are a self-contained cycling
totally.
Company.
There's four of you. This year there was a female and a male group. I was in the female group, and it was four incredible girls that I got to meet and did the photo shoot, you know, got all the promo stuff. And as it was a tour, I was ready to pack up my life in Glasgow for a bit. You know, you can't ideally you want to be rent free for that kind of thing. So sent everything back home to the Isle of Man, and you know, I was ready to hit the road. Rehearsals were starting in a few weeks, and then the lockdown measures came in. And funnily enough, the reason I came back to the island for a little while, thinking that actually it still might happen, I might be able to get back off, and you know, it might just be a little temporary thing. This, my dad thought the flights were going to go bust. He thought the airlines were going to go kaput.
Well, Flybe, of course, did stop.
Exactly. And to get back from Glasgow, it's not easy to get back from Glasgow to the island. So anyway, so I got on a plane, and then within a few days, it was all over, you know. And I'm so lucky to have made it back and be on this wonderful, wonderful island. But very sad not to be doing my contract for the whole of the summer. It was going to be incredible. Start in London, all the way down to Devon, all the way back up and finishing in Inverness. So it was going to be mega.
So it's like a fitness regime and acting and everything.
Totally. Can you imagine what my quads would have looked like, Mark? Well, I was thinking Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
Coming through the unable to get through doorways, and my thighs would be so big. But hopefully it's postponed to next year. So.
Oh, I do hope so. So many conversations I've had with people in music, and particularly in drama, in theatrical world, and it's not resolved. At the time of recording this, we were saying earlier, before we sat down and did this, talking about all the front of house staff in the places like across the whole of UK and probably across the world.
Totally. Right? I mean, they've unfortunately, the all of the front of house staff, I'm told, have been made redundant in London West End. So, you know, no front of house staff. There can be no show, really.
No, it's like not having marshals for a TT.
Exactly.
You know, it doesn't happen. Yeah. You can all turn up, all your people, but they ain't going to run.
No.
So it's same as. Oh, just hope it gets sorted out somehow. I don't know. There's Andrew Lloyd Webber's pioneering something, but we're not quite sure what. But he's so clever, he'll probably do something. He did, you know, it's never going to be the same until you can sit down with people, laugh with people, cry with people, and look at and get engaged with a live performance.
Exactly. And for me, my passion is, you know, regional theatre. It's for smaller, quirky, new pieces, and I hope that perhaps this is going to be a resurgence of that sort of thing, theatre in the community, theatre for everybody. So I've got a lot of hope and, you know, fingers crossed for that kind of thing.
Let's have a wonderful record for today. I've had a little preview of this. Jerry Cinnamon. I'm sorry, I've never heard of him. I should have done.
This guy, well, I'm not sure, maybe a lot of the islanders will have heard of Jerry Cinnamon, but this man, I learned about him when I spent my time in Scotland, and he's a big deal in Scotland, particularly in Glasgow, and he'd be playing at lots of the festivals, and I probably learned about him very early on, and he's got a song named Belter, and I would find myself, you know, every few days going, she's a belter, you know, and it reminds me of the football stuff that would happen in Glasgow all the time, lots of chanting, the pubs, the atmosphere, that real buzz amongst the city the whole time, and even now, oh, I can bring this one up any day of the weekend again. It's a real feel-good cracker.
She is a belter, different from the rest. Diamonds on her finger and she always looks her best. She is a gangster with 100 miles stare. When she walks, her feet don't touch a flare. She is a belter. She plays with lightning, I'm 100 miles high. Dishing out the thunder like a god inside the sky. She is a dancer and she dances in my dreams. Reminds me that the world is not as evil as it seems. She is a belter. No happy endings, unless fairy tales come true. But she looks like a princess and there's not much else to do. I think I love her. She gets underneath my skin, but I've been stung a few times, so I don't let no one in, no even Belter. She is a Belter. She is a Belter. She is a Belter. Can she reach me when I'm high above the shelf? Lost inside a smoke ring while I ponder to myself. Is she the answer to the question in my mind? Is happiness an option or is love just turned me blind? Is she a belter? No happy endings, unless fairy tales come true. But she looks like a princess and there's not much else to do. I think I love her. She gets underneath my skin, but I've been stung a few times, so I don't want no one and no even Belter. She is a Belter.
iTunes on Manx Radio, and my guest this week, she's like beached on a desert island, waiting to get back under the footlights. No, you're in front of the footlights, don't you? You don't get under footlights, you'd be beneath a stage.
You'd be a wee bit squished.
You'd be very squished. It's Michelle James. We knew her as Michelle Jameson back in the day when she was full-time on the Isle of Man, but went away to Glasgow Royal Conservatoire of Scotland and became a very accomplished entertainer all round. Michelle, thank you again for coming on.
Mark, thank you.
No. We talked about a great project that's been put on hold, the Handlebards. I think that is so clever. The touring company, Shakespeare touring company on bicycles. With luck, next year. But fitness, I mean, you were saying that was going to get you very fit, but you always have kept fit. And Pilates is something that you've been doing and you've been teaching here.
Definitely. I'm so passionate about this incredible movement method. I'm very passionate about movement and how useful and how necessary it is to everyone, really. So when I was training, I know I've always wanted to do something fitness inspired, and I did a Pilates instructor course for sort of a 14-month course as I was training for my degree. And that meant that I, along with being an actor, as many people all know, it's not the most reliable source of income. So that is my second job, if you like, which I'm equally so inspired by, which is really lucky to have. So found myself back on the rock. Should I call it the rock? This beautiful place in the middle of the Irish Sea. And, you know, found myself able to teach Pilates still. Taught a huge amount online, and then of course the lockdown measures relaxed and some outdoor classes were allowed, and here we are in the home of Pilates.
Yes, so, of course, because Joseph, God rest
Joseph,
his soul, was up
yeah,
the road in Nokela, wasn't
exactly
he?
Exactly. So I mean, absolutely incredible. I have not had the chance to teach, you know, real people on the island. So what an opportunity to breathe in this incredible fresh Manx air, as Joseph really inspires most people to do, everybody to get out and get as much fresh air as you can, and offer some outdoor classes. And things have progressed since then, and you know, it's been a real interest in that. There's not that much Pilates happening on the island. We fresh face come into the scene. It's quite exciting, I suppose. So I've absolutely loved it.
Joe Wicks has been my saviour during this last three. me and Joe, we're like that. I've been doing... I didn't dress up on a Friday with him, but...
Oh, Mark, you've let me down there.
Let the whole school down. Let myself down. But no, it is. It has been an opportunity to say, come on, don't just sit around. Get out there and get... And as you say, this beautiful island. And As it happened, the weather played ball and we were all able to get more outside experience than we thought, actually, given the Isle of Man's history of weather.
I hope that, you know, everyone's had the chance to improve their fitness, improve their strength, their mobility. Hopefully that's a major, major, major positive to come out of all of this.
I want to ask you a question because I don't know, I'm never sure about this. When you refer to men, they're always actors. When you refer to women, sometimes they would like to be called an actor.
Yeah.
And sometimes when they call themselves actresses.
Yeah.
Instruct me. I don't know what's right.
You know, this is something that comes up all the time. Personally, I call myself an actor.
Yes. Well, I noticed that earlier on. I thought, okay, that's fine, because people do, and then some people don't.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it's just preference, isn't it, really? You don't want to say that being an actor is better than an actress and vice versa, but... Oh.
But in the Oscars, you'll still get actor-actress.
Definitely,
They've got the two categories and things like that.
I know. You just got to go with your gut.
Okay.
And for me, I would call myself an actor.
Good on you. Right, well, I'm... Now, say I asked, I know. Now, I still don't know if there's a rule to this, which there probably isn't. Michelle, it's been absolutely brilliant to catch up again. I'm so glad we could do it, you know, or a bit a little distant, but face to face in a studio and not down a phone line. It's a real treat. Let's have our final record.
So this one is really, really special to me. I take it wherever I go, and I think that it's really important to me that my all the work I create and everything I do seems to be rooted back on this island. And for me, that's really important to keep returning and keep that in the back of my mind the whole time, how special this place is and how wonderfully creative and inspirational it is. So this one is by a man named Matt Creer that I'm sure many
people... We love him to bits. We love him.
Yeah, what a guy. And what a writer. What a singer-songwriter. Incredible. So this is one of my favourite tracks of his. I love them all, but it really does remind me of home when I'm far, far away. And it's Islands from Matt Creer.
Michelle, thank you. And here's to getting out the other side of this and getting you back on that bike. The handlebars. I want to see this.
How fun. Hopefully they'll come to the island, maybe.
It's a long way to cycle.
It's quite a big cycle, isn't it? They'd have to invent some special kind of bike.
Lost at sea, 6,000 miles in 20 years. I could hear you calling me, your voice a stranger to my ears. I will wait here, I will wait here, and I will. Safer place to hide, and in your words that fill my mind, we share no sky, we share no tide, still hand in hand and side by side. I will wait here, I will wait here, I will. Time in weeks and days, till the air we breathe the same. me whispering your name, and here forever we'll be safe. I will wait here, and I will wait here, and I will.
My grateful thanks to Michelle James for joining me for another My Tunes selection here on Manx Radio. More podcasts from me, Mark Tiley, coming soon to this very channel, manxradio.com.